What happens a lot is things happen at the beginning of the service before you preach, and it just fits all so nicely together. And I'm over here writing things down because I want to make sure that I mention those particular things and how they how it really connects in. My little note sheet is quite full, normally I just put scriptures down and I don't write them out. But you guys know, if you know anything about the Bible, that I still use, that it's really falling apart now. So I don't really want to open it up any more than I need to, because I love this Bible, and there's too many notes in the Bible and references and cross references. So I don't want to lose this thing. So I bring it up here because this means a lot to me. You know, not this particular, the Word of God is what means a lot. But I wrote the Word of God on the paper, so it's here too. So even though I might be reading scriptures off of here, it's coming out of here, and that's coming from the heart of God. So just realize that. Wow. I don't really, it's like Richie saying, you know, where do you start? There, the anointing in the worship, and I don't know about you. I wanted to crawl out of my body and just get up into the heavens. The Lord's presence was strong for us to make contact with Him, and He's always going to be there for us. It's us reaching up to Him and really, in truth, wanting to know Him better. Isn't that right? It really comes down a lot to that. What Melinda said is basically the message today. So, no surprise there, right? So, what I want to do before I get, you're right, Kathy. I'm never going to get through the whole thing. I'll have to figure out a way to work my way through this. But I want to talk about something that I've brought up a number of times before, and that is talking about the Rhema Word of God. All right, the Rhema Word, not the Logos, but the Rhema Word of God. I just as a reminder. There's two words in the Greek that's used for the word word. One is logos and one is rhema. Now, I'm going to give you, rhema is what God wants to speak to you right now. There's a lot of things spoken of in here. God works on particular things. He doesn't work on the whole thing on us at one time. He brings what He wants to bring at a particular time to teach us out of that particular thing for that particular time that we're in. Does everybody understand that? Right? You understand that. The Logos is the written word, and out of the written word, God chooses, He scoops his cup into the well, and He pulls out of that well of living water. That was what we need for now. All right? That's what the word rhema is all about. So I want to tell you that there's lots of different things that can be the opposite, almost, of what I'm going to tell you. But it is a rhema for today. For example, there's a scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, if you take that one scripture and say, "I'm applying that to everything in my life," you might miss out on gird up the loins of your mind and prepare for action. Oh no, I'm just going to be still and I'll let God's just going to do everything. Do you see that there's a difference? There's a time when God is speaking for us to relax. to be at peace. And we don't have to do a darn thing. But there's other times where God wants us, by faith, to take what he tells us, what we're hearing, either out of the word of God or he might speak something to us, and he wants something to be put into action. Did you hear that this morning already? Was it Patrick that said that? Something about putting, he read something, it was in the Compassion Act. I wrote it down, but I can't read my writing. I don't know where it got to. Here it is. I just wrote down compassion thing. Love in action and in truth was what he read. See, things need to be in action, and they need to be in action a lot. And we're not standing around in this world watching God miraculously do all kinds of things. He uses his church, his ecclesia, his called out ones, his body in this world, that as we hear direction from him, we are moving out, whether it's in helping people or speaking to someone or standing up against some evil that's going on. God expects that out of the church. He does. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because like Melinda said, if you haven't noticed the evil that is just pouring out into the and over the world and into the minds of many people to accept the filth, just accept it, just tolerate it, it'll go away. Where you and I will be fooling ourselves. We will be listening to what the enemy wants us to do. That the church, who is the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, can destroy and pull down principalities and powers. But if we're not doing it, guess what? It does not happen.
We get what we have right now.
You know, I was talking to Doug and Sharon. You know, the Israelites, when they were moved out of Egypt, they were supposed to go and conquer the Promised Land right away. What happened to them? They had to wander for 40 years. Why? They were disobedient. They weren't submitting. They didn't submit to the will of God. God told them, go on in. You know what they saw? Giants. And when they looked at the giants, they said, oh man, what can we do? We're like little grasshoppers. And because we thought of ourselves as grasshoppers, they saw us as grasshoppers. That's what the scripture says. Do you think that the world system that you're in, with all the evil, that the only thing that we're supposed to do is, the only thing, is supposed, we ought to reach out and give the good news? The good news includes the fact that we have authority in the spirit realm, not that we have any, but the Spirit of God that resides in us has authority. All authority has been given from heaven to Christ. And Christ has given that to us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That doesn't mean that everything is going to go our way. But we have a responsibility in spiritual warfare. The American church, I'm looking for the right words. The American church is spoiled. Spoiled. We only want to hear good things. You would probably rather hear a nice, smooth message this morning. You're not going to get it. And believe me, as many times, and what probably my reputation is, I don't really want to have to give another hard message. But I think it is the rhema for us. I want us to grab a hold of this. The American church. How many people have read Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas? What a fantastic book. And he lays in to the American church. Because the American church, in many ways, is the same as the German church back in World War II, when Hitler had taken over, well, even before World War II, the German church was afraid to confront Hitler and all his policies. They were afraid. They didn't want to lose their status. They didn't want to be made uncomfortable. You get this? And Metaxas's book, it was really a history of Bonhoeffer, if you know anything about Pastor Bonhoeffer. Hitler finally had an executed, but he stood up. But you can't just have one or two easily grab a hold of. You got to have a good group of people, Christians, pastors, and Christian bodies that have the guts to stand up against evil. The American church is too afraid to stand up. I'm not talking doing crazy stuff. I'm talking about calling evil evil. Calling it for what it is. We have been brainwashed for decades about tolerance. And yes, we tolerate people. But we have to call out what is evil. And not every time, you can hear this message and say, well, I can't do this all the time. And we're going to offend. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you. You and I need this message. And we need to allow it to sink in and percolate in the right way so that when we speak truth, it's going to be in love. When we speak truth, it's not because we want to show that we have something better, but that we want to stand in the truth of God, and we want truth to prevail. How many of you like to hear a lie?
No.
We don't like lies, because you can't trust. You don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what's going to happen. Isn't that right? Lots of lies. We live in, people that are in the Bible study, we're going to be getting into some real nitty-gritty stuff that's starting this week, this Tuesday. I have in there this thing called the matrix of falsehoods. It's a matrix. It's been around us a long time. We don't even realize lots of situations that are going on in our lives where we've been lied to and we don't even recognize it as a lie. It's so pervasive, it keeps coming at you. You just think, oh, this is the way life is and this is how I should think. I'm really way off the road. All right, if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 61. We're really going to be talking about fighting the good fight. Okay? Fighting the good fight. And if you know anything of Scripture, we know that that's in reference to our faith. But that isn't just believing something. Faith without works is dead. So this message is talking about we need to have an active faith. We need to be hearing what the Lord is saying as a church. How many churches have come out against some of the legislation and executive orders that are ungodly? You don't hear too much about it. Because the church, in a grand kind of sense, is weak. Weak, the church. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Some of the churches pushing it too.
And then you have churches that are on their side because they bought into the lie that, we all sin, so we have to accept people with all these sins. Do you understand? There's not one particular sin that when it's being done and right in your face, that we shouldn't say something about. But we're not judging a person. We're not telling them they're going to hell, necessarily. But people need to know, no, you're not a dog and you're not a cat. And people are afraid to even tell kids, no, you can't pretend that you're a cat and you're going to use a litter box in the school. But people are afraid because of laws, because of other things. What happens if a bunch of people said, enough is enough? We're getting close to mental illness here.
Close.
I'm trying to be a little right. I know, it's not your thing. Don't start now. All right, so Psalm 61. So here we are in this battle. And we're not going to get out of this battle. You can pretend that everything's fine and, oh, my life is great. But there's things going on inside of you and what's going on where you don't know that something is going to end up affecting your life down the line. And worry about it. We're not getting out of it until Jesus comes back and destroy and makes the final destruction of things. That's of the darkness. But here's what we got to be. I'll tell you, you get overwhelmed at times with what's going on. And that can be on little personal level things where the enemy's battling you, maybe in your body. I've had trouble with vertigo lately. And whether it's something like that, you cry out for God to help you with whatever that might be, or a relationship problems, or if you're looking at the bigger picture, like Melinda was saying, what's going on in our country. If you think that all of these stupid laws, these ungodly laws, aren't going to affect you as a person, you are sadly mistaken. It is going to catch up to every single one of us in this room. It's either going to hurt somebody that's in our family, distant relatives, friends, or it's going to nail us in some way. Happens every day. And you know what? It's always better to be proactive, isn't it? To be out in front of the thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. Nip it in the bud. Yep. And the church hasn't done that. One great thing about God is he tells us he can redeem the time. So all this time where we've kind of never, not even aware that all of these evil forces have been working in our nation, or evil forces working in our family in a certain way to divide one kid from another, you know, take it to whatever level you want. There is this enemy of ours who wants to destroy us. He comes to rob and kill and destroy. That's who this adversary is. And he's not this stupid little creature with the red suit and the tail and the horns. We're talking about a mighty fallen angel and his hordes. It's a good thing we have Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
So here's what I'm finally getting back to Psalm 61. From the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. My heart's been really overwhelmed for a good while now. But this is, the rest of it is what's really key. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is a lot of things that in ourselves we can't do. We can't fix a darn thing. In the spiritual sense, right? There's a lot of you in here that can do all kinds of carpentry and mechanics and all that kind of stuff. But I can't do anything. Anything. And that's so true. When I look at my abilities in, you know, working with my hands, I get a good picture of what it is to try to do something on my own in the spirit realm. It doesn't work too well. But boy, oh boy, we draw God that much more into our life, things happen. And maybe a situation might not change, but something changes inside of me, inside of you. So even when things aren't going our way, we can handle it. Because our trust is not in God doing what we want. Our trust is in God.
Yes.
Period.
Right?
Right? That makes a big difference.
Yes.
And the world that we're in, you and I were born for such a time as this.
Yes.
We're here for a particular reason.
Yes.
We're here to give the gospel of the living God to people. But we're also here, just like Jesus, I can't remember the scripture now. The scripture says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Are we the body of Christ? So not only are we to reach out with the good news, we're here to stand up against evil.
Yes.
If the church doesn't do it, is it going to get done? If we're in a spiritual battle, and I think probably I would speak to the right group of people here, you know that it isn't just that these bad things are happening and there's child trafficking and there's all these hard, there's been times where I have been bawling at home, crying my eyes out, seeing and knowing the things that are being perpetrated against little kids. It kills you if you know anything about it. We can't just go live our life, go on living our life. Oh, I'm going to try to skip over some things. All right. We know we have this powerful enemy. But I love this scripture. It's always been an encouragement to me. It's Romans 5, verse 20. And it says this. It's the second part of the verse, and it says this. But where sin abounds, where there is evil abounding, how many of you would agree? Put your hands up, please, Tom. How many of you agree that sin is abounding in this world? Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so just about everybody, maybe everybody. Sin is abounding. You know what the rest of that scripture is? Grace abounds all the more. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah. God has the power. God uses his saints. That's you and me. That's not some special people that were apostles and back in the, 2,000 years ago, and now those were the only saints, and maybe there's a few here dotted around here and there. No. The saints are the called out ones. When we accepted Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we became a saint. It only means called out. We're called out for a purpose. Not just to enjoy Sunday mornings with all these other Christian people, which we need to get the encouragement to step out into a horrible world. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm sending you as sheep into the midst of wolves. Jesus, why would you want to do something like that to me? Because we have something greater inside of us. And the more that we make those connections with our Lord and Savior and are willing and submissive to what he wants, what his will is, what his word tells us, we fall more strongly into the purpose that he's called us to. And I think that the American church has a real big role to play that we're kind of not doing too well. As a big church. Locally, maybe there's some good signs, and there's been some revivals happening here and there, California, Kentucky, some other places. So there's always this hope, isn't there, that we can rely on. But we need to be people that are. I guess it's the biggest thing with the church is we've got to stand up to evil.
Yes.
We've got to fight the good fight. Now that happens in many different ways. Through prayer, right?
Yeah.
And God's equipped us with everything that we need. I would start by saying, my wife's laughing at me because she knows I have a long way to go. Here's where we have to start. We want to see the nation turn around and become a godly nation again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But this is what it says. So there it is, right there. Right there, hanging up for a good number of years now. If my people, which are called by my name, right? You name Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't you?
Yes.
Who are called by my name, humble themselves. Not just go our own way, live our normal kind of life without making the changes when God tells us to do something, we need to be submissive to it. Yeah. To humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. You and I know where there's some wicked things in our hearts and minds. And we want God to bless us. We want God to do this and this and this and that for us. And when things don't happen, we kind of wonder is we won't turn from our wicked way. Well, this is just how I am, and I'm not going to change. God's going to have to accept me just the way I am. He accepts us the way we are when we come to Christ. But he doesn't expect us to just thumb our nose at him and say, and just go live our own life just the way we darn well want to live.
He's not going to change either.
He doesn't change. But we need to change, don't we?
Yes.
We need to change. And nothing of any major goodness is going to happen until the church humbles themselves, gets into a greater prayer life, seeks his face. I mean, you know, being really sincere about it, not just going through some religious motion of coming to church and knowing all kinds of scriptures. It's way more than that. And what's really good about that is, you know, gosh, there's something else I've got to do now. I've got to do all, you know what? It's easy when you're just listening to Christ and doing what he's telling you at the moment. It's easy. Why would Jesus say that his burden is easy? His load is easy and his burden is light. Jesus wasn't lying. It is. We can do whatever God gives us as a task to do. Now, we might fall on our face. But God, right there, picks us up and moves us on. We learn from our mistakes. Right? That, and it's a turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh man, do I want that?
Yes.
Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. He's speaking that to the church first. And I hope, and I'm saying this to myself, it isn't like I'm coming from some grand place that I will actually put into action the things that God asked me to do. And I think that the church is afraid to stand up against things that look political. There, I said it. That looks political. If you read this Bible enough, you find out there's all kinds of political things in here. Right? You and I have had a matrix of falsehood for decades upon decades. You said, "God, stay away. God, stay away from that. God, stay away from that." And after a while, it starts to sink in, and we start believing a lie. God should not be taken out of any part of society. You hear that? God needs to be infused into every part of society. And if the church isn't, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? So when there's ungodly law that comes up, what should the church do? Gather together, pray, for sure. And maybe stand up against it. Maybe get a bunch of people that go to school board meetings. No, we are not going to allow this practice in here. We'll pull our kids out. If people want to be ungodly, I think you can do that. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you might disagree with the extent that I'm saying right now. That's okay. But I'm telling you that the enemy only knows the power of force. And if you're just going to go, well, please take this away from our kids, the enemy's not going to do anything about it. Are you kidding me? He's going to laugh in your face, which he's done. I know this is usually an uncomfortable kind of message, but I think it's a rhema word. I think it's something we need to hear as a church community, and it's something that we need to be willing, submissive to when God is speaking something. When you see evil, there should be some kind of response. Organizing something, getting it together, somebody putting a letter in the paper. There's a myriad of ways that you can handle a problem as God speaks to you to do it. But just sitting around, and some people think, oh, it's more spiritual just to pray. I'll just pray about it because I don't want to get involved because somebody might get upset with me. Or I'm fearful of what they might do to me. This is what happened to the German church. And this guy did a great job. Eric Metaxas did a great job showing the parallels to what's going on in the American church. I think we're fearful. We who God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Most people, lots of people today, they don't know how to logically make connections. Oh, this is happening over here, and that's happening over. Oh, I see. I see what's going on. No, they just see it for, oh, this is what's happening here. Oh, and that's what's happening there. And they're all, and it's separate in people's minds. Ask God to show you the connections of what is going on. You know, how many train derailments have been going on lately? How many food production companies and 18,000 cows in Texas were killed in a fire? What? You mean there's a barn where there's an explosion? And you can't get out. Isn't the first thing you do is get the cows out of the barn? You get your animals out to a place of safety, don't you? How did that happen? But not just that. That's happening all over. Our food sources are. And you go, oh, another trade derailment. This food production company. That's the 20th one this month. Would you think beyond maybe that? That maybe there's it's planned? Planned? Why would someone do that? And you can keep and then that gets you thinking, and you pray to God, and you're going to find out a lot of things. He'll lead you to the right articles online. He'll lead you to what you need to know. Because those big things that I'm just saying right now does have an effect on you, doesn't it? What's the price of gasoline?
Too much. And there was a train derailment yesterday in Maine.
Oh,
carrying hazmat.
Yeah, and it always seems to be something that's dangerous too. Yeah. Evil. You and I are fighting against evil forces that want to wipe you and I out. Oh, don't get overblown there, now. No, that's exactly what it is, because that's the spirit that we're dealing with. He's here to rob us, to kill us, and to destroy us. That's what he's here to do. Thank God we have a God that's way more powerful than him.
Yes. Yes.
We can relax. We have to see what's going on, stand up against evil, move in the peace that he brings by putting on his yoke, and we'll be able to handle whatever is coming down the pike. And I think that's very important for us as the church. And I'm going to try to wrap this up. Oh, I said a bunch of things just in talking about it. Okay. Lord, I thank you for your message today, the rhema. I pray, Lord, that it would percolate in our minds the right way. The right way. That we would hear and sense your spirit in what you want to speak to us today. And Lord, give us the courage, like Joshua and Caleb, to say, yes, we can take the land. We can take the land. So that we're not roaming around for another 40 years controlled by a wicked government. All governments, your word says, are against the Messiah. So Lord, help us to turn this around. If it be your will, that we would be able to wound the head of the beast. That Babylon, in a sense, is fallen. That we would have righteousness again in this land. A revival, Lord. We pray for a revival. Millions of people, Lord, and billions across this whole world, Lord, would come to know you through all this stuff. And that the flood of lies that have entangled our minds, that the cobwebs would be broken away, that we would cast down the imaginations and pull down the strongholds and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen.